What does Sweden have in common with the tiny Himalayan kingdom of Bhutan? Well, both countries are said to be home to some of the happiest people on Earth. When journalist Lisa Napoli went to Bhutan, she was dazzled by that country's beauty and its traditions. She'll join us in just a bit to talk about the effects of globalization on a place where time seems to have stood still. While Swedes are not known to brag, tour guide Åsa Danielsson will do just that as she explains why Sweden is her version of heaven on Earth. Let's open up today's Travel with Rick Steves on the islands of the South Pacific. More than a century ago, Robert Louis Stevenson, author of Treasure Island and Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, explored this remote paradise in search of solitude and inspiration. Stevenson's writings about his South Sea adventures inspired author J. Martin Troost to make a similar journey. The result is Troost's latest book, Headhunters on My Doorstep, a true Treasure Island ghost story. He's also written two other South Sea memoirs, The Sex Lives of Cannibals and Getting Stoned with Savages. Martin joins us right now to tell us how he was inspired to find his own sobriety while retracing the final South Seas adventure of Robert Louis Stevenson. Martin, thanks for being with us.
Oh, good to be here.
So, Martin, you were basically following the route, or inspired by the route, of Robert Louis Stevenson's final voyage to the South Seas. Now, tell us about his final voyage. Where did he go?
Well, he started off in San Francisco. When he decided to leave, he stood about 5'10", weighing all of 95 pounds. And he decided to go to the South Pacific for his health and to write a few articles. The intention was just to go for 6 months. In the end, he left and he never set foot on a continent again, except for Australia. He sailed to the Marquesas and then down to the Tuamotus, to Tahiti. And then he sailed upwards to Hawaii and caught a gypsy schooner down to Kiribati and finally to Samoa.
And this was back in around 1890?
That's right.
And did he put on some weight?
Well, he did. He did delight in the health benefits of a long sea voyage.
He was a sickly man, wasn't he?
He was, which makes him sort of an extraordinary traveler, I find.
That's interesting, yeah. Because, I mean, he was bold while he was frail.
Absolutely. He sort of, he traveled, I think, in spite of his health.
Now, was this like a 4 or 5 year period during, in his life, his last 5 years or something?
Approximately. It was the last 5 years of his life.
So now, how did his adventures in the South Pacific inspire you as you wrote your trilogy and most recently Headhunters on My Doorstep?
Well, I'd been sort of coming off of a rough time myself. I was reading through the early literature of the South Pacific, reading through de Bougainville and Captain Cook, and I found that much of their writings came across sort of as a technicolor dream. Robert Louis Stevenson, when he started writing about the early literature of the South Pacific, described it as sort of a sugar candy sham epic. And he almost as a taunt said, if you will read my work, you will know more about all the South Pacific than all the volumes combined. So I took him up on his challenge, but I was more inspired by his life, the way he lived, sort of the living in the moment and seeing sort of the majesty of the world, you know, and everything he encountered.
So let's talk about that, because 100 years later, you've been inspired by Robert Louis Stevenson. He had his health problems. You were struggling with alcohol problems also.
Mm-hmm.
And you're following his trail around the South Pacific. What did he do that you did that worked into your adventures and your writing?
What he did, what you could really tell, is how much he was present in the moment. And that's sort of no small thing. You know, he had much in his past. And of course, there was the enormous pressure of being one of the most renowned writers of his time. But what I really took from him is sort of the delight he took in life itself. You can see, if you take a look at the photographs from that era of his, sort of the twinkle in his eye.
Yeah.
It's a wonderful sight to see on such a sort of frail body.
I was just in his museum in Edinburgh, in Scotland, mm-hmm. and he is a fascinating traveler, and that really contributed to his ability to be a fascinating writer. Talk to me about some specific sort of things that we would enjoy seeing or actually doing. Pig hunting with a spear, chasing sharks, climbing coconut trees, dealing with headhunters. What are some of the vivid things that could a modern-day traveler could incorporate into their experience?
Well, one of the things that I really enjoyed is traveling to the Marquesas by ship. There is one boat that does take a few passengers that departs from Tahiti, and it takes you to islands that are inaccessible by air, so only by sea. And you go to places like Fatu Hiva, which is perhaps renowned from Thor Heyerdahl's days. It was an island that he lived on for 2 years before World War II. And it's one of the most remarkable, most beautiful islands I've ever seen.
How so?
just breathtaking. It's sort of it's a strange fusion of islands. You have sort of the tropical air of it, of course, with the beaches and the palm trees down low, but it's a moody island. It's something that you don't typically see in those latitudes. And the higher you look up, the more almost fierce it looks. And the mood of the island seemed to sort of change and shift with the change of the light, you know, just with the passage of the sun.
I can imagine you could kind of feel the weather, the humidity, the before the storm and this kind of thing.
Yeah, you do. You're very much part of the elements there. And then further on towards the Tuamotus, Robert Louis Stevenson was really taken by the beauty of the lagoon in Fakarava. It's really sort of where the magic of those islands is.
What did you do to spice up how did you connect with nature? What did you do that was edgy?
Yeah, one of the things that I did, of course, is Fakarava is now a UN Biosphere Reserve. So there's no fishing and the like around the reefs, which makes it sort of an extraordinary spectacle when you get in the water. I recall when I first arrived on the island and then towards sunset, the lagoon was calm, just absolutely still, and it just sort of fused seamlessly into the sky, and then all of a sudden I'd see these ripples, and very soon there were dorsal fins all around me, dozens of dorsal fins. Now, I grew up in the era of Jaws, so this sort of really gets into some sort of primal reptilian core of me, but really literally hundreds of sharks, and it's a breathtaking experience.
You're snorkeling with sharks?
Yeah, and your brain doesn't quite know what to do. It's trying to send you both sort of the adrenaline, you know, panic and flee impulse.
Yeah.
Right, but on the other hand, you know that you're seeing such a wonder of the world. Yeah, it was a beautiful moment. And the light refracts through deeper into the surface, and then the way it sort of glistens off the fish or the coral and the swaying of the current. And then to see, it wasn't just the sharks, but these enormous emperor fish and schools, really, universities of fish swimming all around you. It was a great experience. And, you know, knowing how much of the world's reefs are really damaged these days, I found it really an extraordinary experience to partake of that.
I'm Rick Steves. This is Travel with Rick Steves. We're speaking with J. Martin Troost, and he's written a trilogy of books on the South Pacific. His latest travel memoir is Headhunters on My Doorstep, inspired by the adventures of Robert Louis Stevenson 100 years ago in the same part of the world. Martin, I'm fascinated by just trying to get away from it all in the South Pacific and to be inspired not only by indigenous people there today, but also by a great traveler and writer and lover of life, Robert Louis Stevenson, a century ago. Did you pick up any sort of survival skills, Tom Hanks, Castaway kind of stuff in your travels that was helpful in your writing?
You know, I'm sure you're the same. You know, once I get on an airplane and I start to go overseas, I just take up certain different habits, you know, with regards to food and water and basics like that. But in the South Pacific, you can still be fairly, you know, careless, I suppose. You know, you have the fruit off the trees, you have the fish in the sea, you have the water that comes from the sky. It's a more primeval life in a way.
More primeval, that's a good word. I guess that's what I was imagining, is you can be primeval today.
Mm-hmm.
Now you wrote that you felt like you had a kinship with Robert Louis Stevenson, like you were soulmates. Was he primeval? How were you soulmates?
I think so. The way he lived his life, he was a born traveler. You know, he said, you know, he doesn't travel to go anywhere, but merely to travel.
I love that quote, yeah.
Yeah, and that's sort of the way I've been all my life as well. But what I find so curious about Robert Louis Stevenson is at the end, his sort of decision to settle in Samoa out of all places.
Why do you say out of all places?
Well, Samoa really is at the end of the world. And as I said before, Robert Louis Stevenson was perhaps the most famous writer of his time.
Yeah.
But Robert Louis Stevenson, he was perhaps the only man who didn't recognize that he was himself famous.
Huh.
He felt much more comfortable in his bones, sort of being on a ship in pajamas, you know, striking through the South Seas, than he did in a crowd in New York.
Obviously, Robert Louis Stevenson's a great traveler and a great observer. Mm-hmm. Can he give us travel tips so that we can travel better today?
I think what he had is he was perhaps a proponent of the full immersion experience. He was never sort of dabbling on the outside, you know, gawking at the locals. He very much sort of wanted to sort of partake of their life. And he had sort of an engagement with the world around him that I think sometimes when we travel lazily, we miss out on.
So if an opportunity presents itself, the answer is yes.
Yes.
That's one of my themes lately. You know, I'm tired. Yes. It's late. Opportunity, yes.
Yes, exactly.
You can read Robert Louis Stevenson's books and be inspired that way. What about your travel memoir, Headhunters on My Doorstep? Did you think about that as a guidebook? When you wrote that, did you hope that others might be inspired to say yes and do it with abandon?
Well, perhaps. I think when I write, I tend to sort of almost put up four walls, and I sort of write really sort of for my own enjoyment and just to hope that others will find what they're looking for and find some inspiration in them. But I don't consciously seek to do that. Mm-hmm. I'm hopeful that the tale alone will inspire others to take to the road or take to the seas, as it were.
Well, let's close with one idea then. Let's say somebody was to read Headhunters on My Doorstep. What's one experience, one little adventure that they could translate into their own travel experience if they were lucky enough to venture through the South Pacific?
I think to approach any of those islands by sea, I think that is just the way those islands are to be approached, and that can be done throughout. When we fly in, it's too abrupt, and I don't think we sort of appreciate sort of the reality, the nature of an island, as we do when we slowly approach it by sea.
I love it. I'm looking at the cover of your book, and that's exactly what shows up on the cover.
Yeah, that's right.
You're looking over the rustic bow pulpit, and here comes a little gaggle of palm trees, and I just want to climb that coconut tree and drink some refreshing coconut milk.
Right.
J. Martin Troost, author of Headhunters on My Doorstep, thanks for connecting us a little bit with Robert Louis Stevenson and sharing your travel adventures in your latest travel memoir. Happy travels.
No, thanks so much for inviting me on.
You bet. J. Martin Troost's website is spelled JMAARTENTROOST.com. We'll get an insider look at Sweden in just a bit, but next, we head for the Himalayas. Lisa Napoli joins us to talk about Bhutan and what's happening as the once-isolated nation opens up to the modern world. We're at 877-333-RICK. Travel with Rick Steves is made possible in part by the European Union delegation to the USA. The European Union received the 2012 Nobel Peace Prize for promoting peace, human rights, and democracy. Information available at euintheus.org.